If you would turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 11. And when you get turned there, I want to tell you a little story. Romans chapter 11, and we'll read in verse, starting in verse 25. August the 9th, 1945, in Nagasaki, Japan, a young 10-year-old girl got up in the morning like she always did, got dressed to get ready to go to school, and she was sick. She got sick. And she convinced her mother to let her go to the doctor instead of going to school that day. Somewhat seemed like an insignificant thing at the time. You know, kids get sick last minute. And she went to the doctor instead of school. And when she was returning home from the doctor's office, the bomb was dropped on Nagasaki, August 9th, 1945. And she was the only one out of all her classmates that lived. Now that is an amazing testimony to me personally, of the providence of God. That was my wife's mother. And the providence of God, it's a mystery. It's Scripture says it's hidden from blind, unregenerate, unbelieving people. That's taught plainly in Scripture, but this mystery is revealed to God's elect by the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His Word and by His Spirit, His grace abounds unto us in all wisdom and prudence, Scripture says. Ephesians 1 says plainly, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. That's the God of the Bible. His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Providence is the government of the universe by God for the accomplishment of His will. His will, which He purposed in Himself, is the salvation of chosen sinners for His glory. Now, two things concerning providence that God reveals to His sheep. The will of God, the purpose and pleasure of the triune God, is the salvation of His people. Those He gave to Christ before the foundation of the world. I wonder if my mother-in-law had gone to school that day. Well, don't wonder, I know. If she hadn't, if my wife would have never been born. And I believe God, by His grace, has saved her. I believe she was one of God's sheep before the foundation of the world. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Things happen that we may not see till 63 years later. My. When the Bible talks about the will of God, it's talking about the salvation of chosen sinners. This is what the will of God is. This is what our Lord Himself said. He said, this is the Father's will. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Pretty direct. Which hath sent me. We know that Christ was sent by His Father. That all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. Hebrews 10 says, then said I, lo, I come. Christ is speaking. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. You'll hear me say many times, probably every service, this is a hymn book. It's about Him. From Genesis to Revelation, it's a hymn book about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I come in the volume of a book, of the book, it is written of me, to do Thy will, O God. And immediately, the Apostle Paul says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. God's will is to save those that He chose before the world began. And not a one of them will be lost. And secondly, providence is God's sovereign and absolute government of the universe to accomplish His will and to accomplish the salvation of His sheep. You see, the mystery of providence is the fact that God absolutely directs all the affairs of the universe to save His people. Now, that's an amazing fact. And look at what Paul says here in Romans 11 about the mystery of providence. If you see it, you'll be astounded by it. No matter how many times I consider it, read it, meditate on it, I'm astounded by it. I never get tired of hearing it. He tells us by divine inspiration that God sent blindness to the Jews that He might send light and salvation to the Gentiles and thus save all His elect, Jew and Gentile alike. Look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. God shut up the Jews in unbelief that He might have mercy upon His elect Gentile people. That's what verse 32, look, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. Now that doesn't mean every person on the earth, that means Jew and Gentile alike. God saves the people out of every tongue, tribe, and kindred. And the Apostle Paul was completely overwhelmed with his awe and praise of God Almighty when he thought of His providence. Look at verse 33. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And yet I worry and fret as if something depended upon me. My next breath comes from God Almighty. I say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You better say, if the Lord wills. He may not. He may not will. And then he says, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And what man or woman on earth hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of Him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. And we too, dear friends, are overwhelmed with awe and praise if we understand the wonder, the magnitude, the grace of God's amazing providence. The very thing that I grumble about today may be the thing that God uses somewhere down the road to save somebody. Now let's talk about the management of the world. Who's running this world? You could ask 100 different people and probably get 100 different answers. Who's running this world? Well, some think that everything comes to pass according to some fixed law once called the laws of nature. I've heard that all my life, the laws of nature. But those who teach such things are incorrect. They refuse to believe anything that cannot be explained upon natural grounds. The basis of what they believe is through a microscope, a test tube, a telescope. Show me. You're going to have to show me. I'm going to have some proof. I'm going to have to see some proof. And then, secondly, others imagine that everything comes to pass by chance or mere coincidence. Most people in this world are great believers in luck. Luck. They think that nothing is certain, fixed, absolute, but that one thing is just as likely to happen as something else. He's lucky. He's lucky. Somebody once said these people court and seem to admire and ascribe everything to three women whom they think are rivals to God. And let me clarify that. He said there's Lady Luck, there's Miss Fortune, and there's Mother Nature. Thirdly, their cold intellectuals would have us to believe that everything in the world is ruled by a cold, impersonal force called fate. Fate. That's. Do you know what this Bible teaches? Look at it. Study yourself to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Oh, the Bible teaches us that the manager, the master, the ruler of the universe is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I'd be a hopeless and an unhappy man if I believed anything other than the sovereignty of God. If He's not control over every square inch of this world, then I'm going to constantly be afraid that I'm standing on the square foot He's not. And you will too. The only rest to be found in this whole world is in the fact that God Almighty is not just involved in the affairs of this world, but that He rules and He reigns and He controls all things. All things. How many times in Scripture do we hear those two words? All things. And my comfort is that all things work together for my good if I'm one of His. And I pray I am. Oh, all things are worked according to the purpose of what? His own will. Lord, teach me to bow to Your will. Teach me not to grumble at Your providence. Cause me to rejoice when things go contrary to what I think they should. I know this. David knew something about that. And he said, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and he makes lightnings for the rain, and he bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt? God did. Both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee? God did. O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings? It wasn't Genghis Khan. It was God Almighty. And I tell you that somehow, some way, in the midst of all of it, it was for the saving of his people. Who's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance? God did. God did. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? Most people I hear preach today act as though they teaching God something. Who's directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who being his counselor taught him? Nobody. And with whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations. You take the biggest king and the biggest nation in this whole world. And he and his nation are but a drop of a bucket. They're counted as a small dust on the balance. You know what that's talking about. You've seen the balance, like the balance of justice. And, you know, you put something on this side. He's talking about the little dust that you can't hardly see that lays on that. Not even worthy of, you know, setting it up right in the beginning. It's just insignificant. It don't matter. That's what we are. He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon, all the trees of Lebanon are not sufficient to burn. You could take all the beasts in the world and sacrifice them, and they're not sufficient for a burnt offering to this God. And Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 17, he said, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. But believers insist that this universe is totally and constantly ruled by God. Our God always has his way, and he always does his will, everywhere, every second of every day. Our God has his way. There are only two alternatives to this fact. If God's not running the world, it's either because he doesn't want to, or he's not able to. To say that God does not want to run the world is to say that he's abandoned the work of his hands and abandoned his purpose in creating all things. So I know that's not so. Scripture says, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the majesty on high. And that seat at the right hand, that's a symbol of power and might, authority, sovereign. He's ruling this earth. Don't think for a minute he ain't. Nothing catches him by surprise. God don't need any backup plans. I do. I need to make a few backup plans, but God don't. Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. To say that God's not ruling this world is to say that we might as well just lay down and die. the theme of our constant song is He is able. He is able. Oh, that's the song of the redeemed throughout Scriptures. He's able to deliver. Ask, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, can your God deliver? They said to the king, it said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. And they said, and if he'll deliver us out of thine hand, O king, if it comes down to it. One day Daniel, they threw him in a lion's den. Hungry lions. Purposely didn't feed him for long periods of time. Threw Daniel down in the lion's den. The king was against it. He loved Daniel. And he comes running that next day when the time was up to see, and he said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I bet he expected not to hear an answer. But Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they've not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, I'll get it out, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. God shut the mouth of lions. Those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. You ask Nebuchadnezzar. He said, all those that walk in pride, oh, he's able to abase. He's able to subdue all things. According to Philippians 3:21, he's able to change our vile body. Now that's a God, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's able to save and to keep all his people by his grace. God's able. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth, what? To make intercession for them. There's somebody in heaven pleading my case. That I died for that wretched, no good sinner. And he's mine. He's mine. Oh, he's able to save. He's able to destroy. Oh, James said, there's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. And who art thou that thou judgest another? Those who deny God's absolute sovereign management of the universe destroy the very basis of worship. I can't worship a God who has no control. Be better off with Lady Luck, Miss Fortune, and Mother Nature. If God does not want to govern the world, or if he's not able to govern the world, then don't ever pray again. Prayer is just useless, if that's so. But we know that's not so. Why pray to a God who's not interested, or who's not able to intervene in earthly affairs? Thank God he intervenes. The management of the universe, my dear brothers and sisters, is God's work. God's providential rule of the universe encompasses all the, even the little minute things. Intricate details of matter, time, and history. It covers all the little things. Someone once said, providence is God's attention concentrated everywhere. I like that. I like that. No sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing. The flakes of snow are scattered upon the earth in their foreordained path by our Heavenly Father's great and gentle hand, according to Job 38, verse 22. Even in the casting of lots, And that was done quite frequently in our Lord's time, cast lots. You know, I think that's how Jonah got thrown off the boat, wasn't it? He was unlucky. The casting of lots and the roll of the dice, God Almighty has His way, absolutely. That's what Proverbs 16 says, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And what about the power of providence? I'm about done. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. Are you getting the picture? The God we worship, the God of the Bible, is in control of everything, absolutely and always. And our God controls even inanimate matter. The waters of the Red Sea parted at His command. The opening of the earth to swallow up Korah was by His decree. The fiery furnace in Babylon had no ability to burn His servants, though it consumed all their enemies. Why? Because God willed it. The sunshine and the rain are bountifully scattered or withheld according to the purpose of God. God controls all irrational creatures. The animals of the earth were brought to Adam to name, and they were brought to Noah to save by God's decree. I think about that. Can you imagine being there at that ark and here they come? Nobody had to call them. Here come two elephants, male and female. Here they come, every species. Who called them? God did. I may change the title of this message to God did. He used Balaam's ass to speak in human language when the God Almighty said to him, he said, speak to Balaam. And that donkey spoke. The flies swarmed over Egypt. Frogs invaded the land like an army when the Lord God ordained it so. The lions in Babylon slept like lambs when Daniel laid down there with them. A great fish one time was prepared to swallow up God's servant and carry him directly to where God had told him to go in the first place. That was just fate. No. The rooster crowed twice after Peter denied the Lord three times because the Lord Jesus said that it would. Isn't that amazing? Minute, intricate, all the affairs of our life. God controls all things. David said in Psalm 103, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. And God controls all things, all men, both good and bad. Both good and bad. Pharaoh and Israel both did exactly what God purposed. The Jews, Pilate, the Romans, they all did exactly what God ordained in the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:23 tells you that. It says, Him, Christ, being delivered by what? The determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. And in the same breath it says, ye have taken Him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. You see, God's sovereign, man is responsible. That's all through Scripture. If you go to heaven, it's God's fault. You go to hell, it's your fault. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, He turneth it whatsoever way He wants. I'll be honest with you, I'm just getting to the point where I don't much care about all the mess that everybody else is all upset about anymore. I'm beginning to learn. a little something. My God rules and reigns all of it. Oh, Shimei, he couldn't even curse David without God saying to him that he could. The devil himself operates only by divine permission. That's what he did to Job. You consider my servant Job? He told Peter one day, he said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. And he didn't say, I wasn't going to let him. He said, I've prayed that your faith fail you not. Oh, I have one praying for me that my faith don't fail me. And you know what? He's one I want praying for me, interceding for me. He's my Lord. He's my God. All right, the marvel of God's providence, and I'm finished. The purpose and plan by which providence operates is God's eternal purpose of grace toward His own sheep, Romans 8. There's nothing, now listen, this is a beautiful truth. There is nothing God will not do to save His elect. Nothing. He gave a little Japanese girl a stomachache one day. And saved her life. God did that. There's nothing God will not sacrifice to save His elect except His own honor. He that spared not, Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but what? Delivered Him up for us all His people. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I love 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. I throw that word around a lot, and I do mean it when I say I love to tell somebody I love them. I do love them best I can. My love's fickle and incomplete, and it's high and low. It's affected by usually me and how things affect me. I can love you if you're good to me, and if you're not, I can not love you so much. Still love you. But herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, silly, sentimental men talk about an indiscriminate, universal love in God, making the love of God meaningless. Really, if He loves people that hates Him, the Bible teaches us that God's love for His elect is a special discriminating love. And do the ones that He loves take pride and honor? No, they're humbled by it, because God shows them their need first, shows them what they are, shows them that if they don't bow, they're going to die. If they don't come to Him, there's no chance of life at all. God makes us willing in the day of His power. How? By showing us our need of Him. Desperately wicked this heart that beats in me. Deceitful above all things, Scripture says. Desperately wicked. And I'm going to offer it to Him? That doesn't even make good sense, does it? I'm going to offer Him this wicked thing? When I stand before Him one day in judgment, I'm going to plead the blood of my Savior. Only thing God accepts. Oh, there's nothing that can hinder God's purpose of grace. There's nothing under God's dominion that can harm one of the Lord's chosen. When my day's up, I'm gone, and I'll be with the Lord. I hope that's not anytime soon, to be honest with you. I kind of like Texas. I caught myself earlier. I'll leave you with this thought. I left my Bible in the car, and I went to get it. I got all the way almost to the car, and I thought, that it's locked, and I don't have my keys with me, and I'm going to have to go right back all the way back in there and get them keys and come back out here again. And you know what? It was unlocked. And you know what I said before I could even catch myself? I said, well, at least one thing went right today. Let me tell you, everything went right today. Everything went right today. Just how God intended it to. Eric, would you dismiss us?